evening, and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Shows. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, alongside with Mac Water. I'm John Coffey, and we've got another good show coming your way tonight. We'll be talking football with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. We'll also talk with offensive lineman Shane Smith, and then turn our attention to volleyball tonight as head volleyball coach Amy Worth and volleyball player Shelby Dern will be a longhand for the program this evening. Mac Water, another long trip coming up for the Bearcat football team after a tough loss on Saturday. They head out to Hayes, Kansas this upcoming Saturday to face Fort Hays State.
Yeah, and with that matchup, it's not one of those easy recovery games either, because Hayes is playing really good football. I look back the last few years since Chris Brown took over as their head coach, and this is the best record through seven games that that team has had since he took over now in his fourth season. So they definitely are playing better football than what we had seen in the recent past, and it's always a tough trip out to Hayes, whether that team's playing good football or not. So those two things added together mean that the Cats will have a challenge in front of them this weekend.
Again, we'll be talking volleyball as well, and they've got a busy weekend coming up.
Yeah, absolutely, and get a chance to return home, which is good. They've had several matches on the road in the last couple of weeks. They've played real well at home this year, and so they'll get an opportunity with their next three at home, including a couple this weekend.
Again, reminder that support for the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located at near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. Support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More information at 660-582-2699. And as always, our thanks to Carson, Renee, and the wait staff here for all the work that they do throughout the program on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Up next, we'll be talking with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. He'll be joining us right after this timeout as the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show continues from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's broadcast comes from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is a proud partner of Bearcat Athletics and is open 24 hours. Located on South Main Street, McDonald's late night menu offers limited breakfast and dinner items from midnight to 4 a.m. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nucor LMP in Maryville, producing steel parts that are used in agriculture, oil production, and the auto industry. Nucor would like to remind you not to text and drive. Don't let your last text be your last words. More at Nucor.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding shops and garages. More at 660-562-0300.
Support for today's game comes from Southpaw's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. Southpaw's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work, as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family-owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information available at 660-582-7196.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, as we're joined now by the head coach of the Northwest football team, Adam Dorrell. And AD, a tough loss last week to a very good Pittsburgh State team.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, it was, John. It was, obviously disappointing to lose a game like that and lose homecoming. And that's about all I have to say. It was disappointing. The thing with coaching and with us, we've always done, Sunday night. You get there and you watch the game, and whether you win or lose, you by Monday morning you're moving on to the other opponent. So it's a good philosophy to have, and never try to get too high or too low in this profession. If you do, you won't be in it for long. So we've had a really good week of practice. Tuesday was really good. Wednesday was just okay, and then today we were lights out. So it was exciting. Our kids are. energetic, and I know they're really excited to get back on the field.
But the good thing is it seems like a lot of the things that didn't go your way are all fixable, aside from being able to put the sun where you want to put it in the sky. But, for the most part, all that stuff is going to be fixable.
Yeah, you hope. I mean, it's anytime you lose a football game, you want to learn from it and try to take as many positive things as you can out of it and try to look at things that are coachable and correctable. And there was certainly a lot of things that were coachable and correctable in there. And, hopefully, like I said, we learned from it.
It really seemed like it was one of those games, too, that a couple other plays here or there really would have made a difference in maybe the momentum of that game.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I felt really good about our kids where we were at halftime. Probably the worst thing for us, it was a 25-minute halftime, and we made our adjustments. We talked, and we felt pretty good about where we were going. Came out, obviously, they drove the football down the field, and that's not what we wanted, but we blocked the field goal, and man, the momentum was, again, swung our way, and then we fumbled the football, and they run it in. That was just a really, a backbreaker. And then, after that, it was just tough.
It seemed like not just the long halftime, but the timing of it. You guys really, toward the end of the first half, had started to pick up some momentum.
Yeah, our defense had settled in really well, and obviously had got some interceptions, and I thought we were starting to gain a little rhythm offensively, too.
And yeah, that's the downside of that. As you mentioned, you got a few things going offensively, and then just unfortunately a drop pass here or there really kind of made a difference, I thought.
Yeah, it sure did. And in games like that, I mean, you look up and look at the number of snaps you've run and the possessions you've had, and it's coming to an end in the first quarter. And I mean, in a game like that, you gotta take every opportunity you have, and you just can't make big self-inflicting wounds like that. It just kills you, especially when you're playing a great football team. I mean, I know that's hard for our people sometimes to admit when we're playing other teams that are good, but they were a very fine football team and they're very well coached.
Seemed like you talk a lot about third downs on both sides of the ball, and that seemed to be one area that was tough on Saturday.
It did. It was just our conversion percentage wasn't good, and it's just a filter down effect, and then that sends your defense out there, and your defense obviously has to play more snaps than they're used to playing. And the big thing is, when you're playing a good football team like that, at some point in time you got to take some shots down the field. And if you're going to take those shots down the field and you're not completing them, then you got to be able to come back, and you got to be good, not just average. You got to be good on third down, and we certainly want that.
I thought on a defensive side, after the first quarter or so, that the defense really made some adjustments and played well the rest of the game.
Yeah, they sure did. You got to give Pitt State credit. They made some really good plays and big plays, and just made some really big catches in traffic, where we had guys' hands in there, and they came up with those balls. But it did. I thought our defense really settled down, and hats off to those guys. They didn't panic, and just really talked about fundamentals at halftime. We felt like when we got beat, we were playing some man coverage and had guys looking in the backfield, and they don't want our guys doing that. So felt like our kids really settled in after that.
Heck of a game from Jared Fox.
Yeah, it was. Just you're very proud of a kid like that. And Matt, it's unfortunately his great performance came in a loss, but he's a kid that just, epitomizes our football program. He started here as a walk-on. He's almost a 4.0 student, business finance major. He's a great teammate. He's a great Christian. He's a great human being. I was very happy for him because he's worked really hard to get to that level, to play at the type of level he played at in a big game. He's worked really, really hard, really diligent to get there. And so, hopefully he'll pick back up, and we'll see that again on Saturday.
And now Fox with three interceptions, fumble recovery as well. The winner of the Don Black Award, which goes to the most valuable Bearcat in a homecoming game. And what does that as far as part of the tradition of the homecoming game, the Don Black Award? Just talk a little bit about what that means for the squad.
Well, there's it always seems to be the guys that win it. They always seem to always give them a hard time. The guys that always win, it always seem to be showing up on homecoming. And on our staff, you've got Coach Bostwick won it. I believe it was his junior year. Coach Osborne won it. I never won the Don Black Award. But it seems it always seems to be on homecoming to have a lot of those guys. I saw Jordan Simmons and And you could go right on down the list of guys that have won it over the years. And they always seem to find their way down there for the so it's a neat deal for those guys.
Now you say you never won it, but you probably helped some guys win it there on the offensive line, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, the one that comes to my mind is there's a picture in my office. It's 1996. It's myself, the other four offensive linemen, Coach Churchma, and Jesse Haynes. And Jesse Haynes is standing in the picture, and he's really upset because I think he rushed for over 300 yards that day and had like four or five touchdowns, but he fumbled the ball three times. It was against Missouri Western. He was, you know, upset with himself for fumbling, but. Yeah, that was the closest I ever got to that trophy.
You talk about that team and that time. Of course, Friday night, Greg Teal went into the Hall of Fame, one of your teammates, and that had to add to the specialness of the weekend.
It was. It's a fun weekend to see everybody back, and it was a good chance. I got a chance to spend some time with Greg, and you know, Greg, he's a guy that's always been really important in my life. He was a mentor to me growing up, and you know, the thing that Greg Teal doesn't get enough credit for, he was a good football player, he was a good athlete. I mean, here in Maryville, three sport guy, and then to go to Northwest. But the thing Greg didn't get enough credit for, he was a great leader. He's one of the best captains, the best leaders I've ever been around, and I quantify from that. I always, in my mind, to me, a great leader makes everybody else around him better, even when a guy may not be that good of an athlete. But he always seemed to get guys to play better than what they were, and I mean, that's I was very happy for him that people recognize that, and that he was inducted, because it was very well deserved.
And one of the things that we've talked to with Greg about in the past, and you remember that team as well, that 96 squad, that was really kind of the turning point, I think, for the Bearcat program. And when you went up to Omaha for that big game up there, and went for the first playoff win in Bearcat history up there in the kind of that ice thing, and yeah. That was really, I think, one of the turning points there.
Yeah, never a doubt was there in that game.
Absolutely not.
Never a doubt. The ball's running, the clock's running at the end, and we're out of timeouts, and they signal play, and Teal yells, and I can't even, it's like 587 Tomahawk or something, and Jesse's supposed to run a wheel route, and I mean, you can literally, I remember Teal yelling to him, just go, because the ball's coming your way, because Steve Comer had caught a touchdown on a very similar play earlier with the wheel route, and they just never seem to cover wheel routes, and clock's running, you can't hear anything. Coppinger snaps the ball, you know, with 3 seconds left. Teal really wasn't ready for the ball. It hit him, and the rest is history. But, you know, you're right, John. It's something I've talked to Mel a lot about. And just friends, it's like you look at their program, you know, when they had one.
Yeah.
And, I mean, really, it was really similar. You know, Pat Burns had took over that program, and they weren't very good. And obviously, Mel took over here, and they weren't, we had been real stagnant. And then, you know, they both had started, you know, won a conference championship, and it, almost on the same. It was just real eerie. And I've always thought, you know, where would we have gone if we wouldn't have won that game? You know, the following year, then we win two playoff games, and then, of course, the following year, they win the national championship. So. I've thought about it a lot, trust me.
You know, one of the things that Greg pointed out during his speech that I thought was real interesting is we always talk about how former players are important in the program and helping you recruit, but how many players/coaches were involved with that team that are still a big part of Bearcat football today?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Kenny was playing. Coach Wright was coaching the tight ends. I was telling him he was on the good side at the time. he used to coach the good guys. How many people know that? Coach Wright started off as an offensive guy. And probably another thing you didn't know about Coach Wright, he used to play cornerback in college. And so,
wow.
Yeah, he was a corner, and then he was a coach the tight ends. And so myself. And so, yeah, there was a lot of us that were there are part of that team.
Yeah, a lot of guys on that team that didn't get a national championship in 98, but really, again, as you mentioned, was instrumental really in getting to that point.
Yeah, there was. And, the one that I've always thought would have been tough is, you know, you had guys like Matt Becker, Nick Kinsarello, I think it was Dante Combs. There was probably anywhere from 8 to 10, a group of them, maybe 8, that didn't redshirt. You know, and so they missed out on that 98 year that if they wouldn't have redshirted, or if they would have redshirted, they would have been a part of. And you know, I've always thought about those guys, and they've always been like, you know, I did my 111th, and they were great team guys.
You know, I had a conversation with somebody the other day because we're kind of in an era with students, not just athletes, but all students in general, that all they know is winning and success. How much, when you talk with the team, talk with players, that you try to bring up to tradition, that time where the tide was turned, and for those of us that remember and how important that was to Bearcat football, how much do you try to keep that alive?
Well, I honestly really bring it up in just to try to keep guys humble and be unselfish. You know, I always talk to them about, you know, it sounds like I walked to school uphill both ways. We were doing a lot of good things, and we didn't have, you know, a good stadium. I mean, you remember I was saying, we didn't have a nice scoreboard. Seemed like we had one uniform combination we had to wear, and it was almost trading out helmets between offense and defense. And so, it's a sensitive deal for us. I always feel like if I get a kid, you know, it doesn't happen a lot, but kind of get like a little bit needy or feel like they're being privileged, I snap them pretty quick and remind them how it used to be. And so, yeah, I mean, our kids are really fortunate to have the stuff they have now.
And I know one thing, though, you weren't wearing the leather helmets back then.
No, we were not.
But, you know, also another thing that was interesting, you look back at that time, is that's when the paw came about, mm-hmm. and now Protect the Paw, the mm-hmm. PTP, yeah. and how much of a sense of pride that is now for Northwest Missouri State.
Yeah, it is. It just, you always hear good stories about it. My best story about it from this year is Trevor Adams got a chance to lead our chapel at Central Oklahoma. He drove up from Dallas and met us at Central Oklahoma, and it just see him and smile and see our kids embrace him. You know, he was, in my opinion, he was one of the best leaders this place has ever had. And he was talking about, you know, he got emotional. He was like, I'm going to a TCU football game 2 weeks ago. And I'm driving down the interstate, and I've got my car, and he's with his fiance, and I got a Bearcat paw. And he says all of a sudden somebody starts honking and drives by, and it's their car, and on the back of their car was a couple of Bearcat paws. He's like, I have no idea who it was. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was. And so it's always good to hear stories about that. But, you know, it's very visible, obviously, in the Des Moines, Omaha, Lincoln, obviously the Kansas City area when I recruit. It's neat for me to go into a high school, and I'll be wearing a jacket or something, and English teacher will come up. I graduated in 78 or something. So, yeah, it's I always say when people go out of their way to talk about those experiences, it means they always had a really positive experience here, and that goes beyond, you know, athletics. It goes into our teachers, their advisors, just all the great things that this place has to offer.
Talk about Trevor Adams, most likely down the line. He's going to be somewhere that's going to be honored during a homecoming weekend going into the hall, I would imagine, at some point. You look at Aaron Crow, who was inducted this past weekend on the football team. Really, the rest of this induction class, year after year, you see people that have not only contributed athletically, but then you have a chance to see what they do after graduation. I imagine that really makes you feel good to see the type of people that your athletes really go on to become.
Yeah, it does, John. It's one of the most rewarding parts of our jobs, I think. And, you know, I've said it. You guys have heard me say it. That's why I love Division II right now and the model, because it's still it's great balance between the student athlete and the athletics and the time spent academically and the time spent, you know, athletically. And, you know, it's just my opinion. I don't think it's like that at Division I athletics anymore. And so to have that balance and to see those kids go on to succeed, and then when they get really get engaged, you know, when the guys start getting my age and they really start getting engaged again, and then it just that's what really when this thing really becomes neat.
And not just being a part of Division II athletics, but a program that can draw 11,000 people to a football game and an energetic 11,000 people, boy, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is, and it's just it's pretty incredible. I'm a pretty simple guy, and you start running the numbers on number of people that live in this town and then the number of kids that go to school here, and you run the math, and that's It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking with Adam Doyle, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team. And we'll come back. We'll talk with AD about the matchup this weekend as they head out to Hays, Kansas to support Hays State. We'll be back and talk to AD about that right after this timeout. He's listening to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups and oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or at their shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville, offering specialty pizzas, pastas, and wings, and a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More at PizzaHut.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet from Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at CarpetPlus.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Bittersweet Floral and Gifts at First and Main in Maryville, offering floral arrangements for all occasions. Bittersweet also offers scrapbook supplies, silk arrangements, soaps, and gifts. More online at bittersweetfloral.com or at 582-5700.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, joined by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Doyle. And it's a long road trip this weekend. AD, head out to Hays, Kansas to face a very much improved Fort Hays State team.
Yeah, it is. We've got a big challenge this week, John. Chris Brown, their head coach there, he's a friend of mine. I've known him a long time, actually played against him. He played free safety at Pittsburgh State, and we were in school at the same time. Great guy, and he's done a fantastic job. You know, when he took over that program, they were down and out, consistently losing 9 or 10 games a year, and he's done a really good job. So we've got a big challenge in front of us. You look at the games they've won this year, they've played really well early in the game, first quarter, about the first 8 minutes. They've played well at home. They've done some things with their facilities, and they've really upgraded their kind of game day environment. And so we're excited. I mean, it's going to be a good crowd, and, it's a big game for them. And I've been reading a little bit, some of his thoughts. And, it's a big game for their program. It's a big game for ours, too. So beautiful scenic, drive. We'll stay in Salina. I always have a hard time getting hotel rooms in Hays, so I don't know if volleyball has that problem, and soccer, I don't know, but we can't ever seem to get a hotel room in Hays, Kansas.
Well, one thing, in talking with Coach Brown, he said that he's really proud of the way his defense is playing, that it's been the strength of the team. What is it about their defense that makes them good?
I think they're just tough, blue-collar. Remind me a lot of their coach. I mean, that's the kind of player he was, and they're very deep. They're playing 8 defensive linemen, and again, if you look at their defense, I think eight of the guys that start on defense for them have started at least 2 years. I think 4 or 5 of them have been 3-year starters for them. And so, there's really no recipe for, in my opinion, for experience. And so you've got a handful of guys that are battle-tested in this league, and they're just depth. They're playing kids and they're rolling them in there. Free safety's a really good player. They put a lot on his shoulders to come up and support the run, but you don't see him giving up a lot of deep passes down the field. And so, yeah, they've played really well on defense all year.
And it's a defense that limited Pittsburgh State to just 6 points.
Yeah, they. It's no fluke. And I mean, if you look at that Pittsburgh State game, there's some opportunities that they probably missed to get a few more points on that thing, but. I told our kids they're not going to be scared of us or intimidated by us. They went to Pittsburgh State and beat the Gorillas on Family Day in front of, I think, almost 12,000 people. So They're going to be ready.
You talk about them with fast starts. If you look at their scoring by quarters, 49 points in the first quarter, easily the most they've scored of any quarter. Yeah. What does it take to be able to have consistent fast starts like that?
Well, I think they're doing a good job of scripting their first 20. Most people script their first 20 offensive plays, and they're trying to probe you and get you into stuff that you haven't seen. And so it'll be important that us, if we haven't seen a formation or a motion, that we're smart and not give up a deep ball early in the game and, you know, try to make them go. The thing that I've seen on those points, they've gotten a lot of big plays early. Defense has gotten them some takeaways, and so they've gotten really good field position early in that, and they've had some good kickoff returns to get them good field position, too.
What are some of the main things that they try to do offensively?
Well, I kind of term them a spread option team. They have a very dynamic quarterback. I mean, he can throw the ball, but it's almost like they'll call a pass play, and there's times you want him, like, throwing it on time, because to me it seems like he makes his big plays when he goes to his first receiver and the kid's not there. He goes to the second receiver, and then he scrambles in the pocket, and he'll find somebody deep down the field, or he takes off running. That's when he's dangerous. He's a good player.
It looks like there might be some potential to force some turnovers. Do you feel there's going to be that opportunity for your defense?
Well, we hope so. I think to do that, I think we need to play well on offense and maybe try to get a score or two here and see if we can get them to press a little bit. My philosophy when you play on the road is you need to be aggressive early and try to get a lead, especially, you know, if you're playing well and the other team is struggling a little bit, not that they have this year, but, that's kind of a philosophical deal. So I hope if we can get a lead and our guys are patient, maybe that will come about.
You mentioned that their special teams have done some things for them. What are some of the strengths that they have on the special team training?
Well, they blocked some field goals this year, blocked some PATs, and just with great second effort, too. You know, it wasn't a fluke. It was great second effort, the guy pressing through the B gap and getting his hands up. And so that's the big one I've seen with their field goal blocks.
Seems like when they were down, making a road trip out to Hayes, Kansas, that combination made it tough to play. And we've seen some downtime, sure, some down games from the Bearcats in that standpoint. Having them be a better team, be a real threat, do you think that's something that might make taking a road trip like that a little easier in terms of being ready to play?
Yeah, no, I'm more of what we happened to us Saturday. I think our kids are refocused and they're hungry. And, you know, when you only get 11 of these opportunities a year, that's all you're guaranteed. You know, that's if you don't get injured. And when you lose a football game, the hard thing that people don't understand, you know, like baseball or basketball, you know, there's usually you're getting two of those games a week. And so you get right back out there and you kind of get that bad taste out of it. Football, you have to sit there for 7 days. And if you do it right and you use it right, it's a lot of motivation. And so I'm really confident that our kids are got to be ready to play Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Now, that game last week, the loss, unfortunately, lost, but you ended a winning streak, 21 straight games, and when you look back at that, that's a heck of a streak that a lot of teams don't have an opportunity to brag about it when you look at the whole streak thing.
Yeah, I don't get real caught up in that, but I just, again, when you're winning that many games like that consistently, again, it's hard for people to understand, but there's a lot of work that goes into that. So I appreciate you pointing that out. But you look at the number of kids that were involved in something like that, our strength staff, our medical staff, we've stayed pretty healthy over that stretch. And I've just had great leadership over that stretch. So, it was a lot of fun. Now we got to start a new one.
Yeah, and after it's over, I guess while it's going on, you can talk about those streaks. But I would guess that you guys take a game-by-game focus anyway, so it's a little bit tougher to really think about it until you're either out of season or it comes to an end, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think our kids think about that. I know I don't. It's probably something when you're old, if you have the luxury of growing old and looking back, I'm sure it'll mean something to me then when you start going through the games, the number of wins, the kids that came through there. You know, there was some tight games in there, too. Big plays in there. I'm sure it'll mean more down the road.
All right, well, AD, thanks a lot for being with us, and good luck this Saturday.
Thank you.
All right, that's Adam Dorrell, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team.
When we come back, we'll continue to talk football as Shane Smith, an offensive lineman, will be joining us. And we'll talk to Shane coming up or right after this timeout as you're listening to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Hy-Vee. At every home game, Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Hy-Vee, located on South Main in Maryville.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street, offering a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's broadcast comes from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is a proud partner of Bearcat Athletics and is open 24 hours. Located on South Main Street, McDonald's late night menu offers limited breakfast and dinner items from midnight to 4 a.m. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Showtime. Now to talk with an offensive lineman on the Bearcat team, and Shane Smith, out of Shelbyner, Missouri, and South Shelby High School. And Shane, the first thing I want to ask you about is how you're holding up this week, being a Cardinal fan with a few Royals fans on the Bearcat roster there.
It's definitely rough. All my fan or my friends, all my roommates are Royals fans, and I can't stand it.
Well, you can point out that there's 11 flags flying at Busch Stadium.
That is one of the great things that I can always put in their faces. I am rooting for them because I really don't want to see the Giants win.
That's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah.
Shane, let's just talk about first of all, what brought you to Northwest Missouri State.
Well, I came here on my visit, and I felt the real family atmosphere that they have here, and I met some of the players, and I actually had a friend that I played with in high school, Bryce Johnson. He was my host, and he played up here for 4.5 years. He just got done last year, and I just really kind of bought into the idea of the family atmosphere that they have here, and it was really neat, and it was hard to turn down, so I came up here, and it was honestly the best choice I've ever made.
I know you came from a football program in high school that has a lot of tradition as well.
Yeah, the South Shelby Cardinals. Me and AD kind of go back and forth with the Spoof Hounds versus the Cardinals. They've had a lot more success here lately, but we're more of a long run tradition than on a good football program. So it's fun bickering.
And you're part of an offensive line, and traditionally Northwest have had some very good offensive lines through the year, and a very tight group of people. Just kind of talk about some of the things that the offensive line does to have that cohesiveness and that closeness that you have.
Well, we hang out a lot. Every Thursday night we go out and we have our O-line dinner, which they're having right now.
They're all mouths full right now. They can't cheer, it looks like.
Yeah, they're all. We go out and have dinner every Thursday night to kind of relax after a week of tough practice and let a load off, because we spend so much time together with football in meetings and whatnot, and it's nice to relax and hang out with the guys too.
Ed, I talked a little bit about how it's been a good week of practice coming off that tough loss Saturday. Just kind of talk about regrouping after the loss Saturday and how practice has gone for you guys.
We really did have a good week of practice. It was great to see that we could take what we could from the loss and learn from it and come out and have a great week. We had a great Tuesday practice. Wednesday, was pretty good, but could have been better. And then today we had a great finishing day of practice, so it was great to see us respond like that.
When you see the quarterback and running backs and receivers get a lot of notice for what they do during a game, just talk about the pride you guys have, because a lot of that's because of the work you do in the trenches there that perhaps doesn't get the notice that perhaps it really should.
Yeah, they're the guys that are on the cover of the paper, and they're in the highlight videos and stuff, and you know, it's great to see them getting touchdowns and stuff, but they're also the first guys that are there to give us some love and mention us to the reporters and stuff. So they're really good about sharing the credit with us.
So look ahead toward Fort Hays State. Again, it's a team that we talked with Adam about, too, defensively, very much improved defense. What are some of the things you're looking at as far as preparing for Fort Hays State this week?
They're a very good team. They up front, they're very physical on the defensive line, and that's gonna be a real challenge for us up front. And we got to come out and be physical and really play well, because they're not going to lay down in front of us, so we're going to have to take it to them.
Now, before we let you go, let's just talk a little bit about your major and perhaps what the future will hold for you.
I am majoring in accounting and economics, and yeah, it's as fun as it sounds. but after I get done here, I'm hoping to pursue an accounting profession or a job in the accounting field. So.
All right. Well, Shane, we certainly appreciate you being here, and good luck to you on Saturday.
Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Shane Smith, offensive lineman for the Bearcat football team. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to volleyball, as we'll be joined by the head coach of the Northwest volleyball team, Amy Worth. That's coming up after this timeout as you're listening to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. It's broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nucor LMP in Maryville, producing steel parts that are used in agriculture, oil production, and the auto industry. Nucor would like to remind you not to text and drive. Don't let your last text be your last words. More at Nucor.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding shops and garages. More at 660-562-0300.
Support for today's game comes from Southpaw's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. Southpaw's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work, as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information available at 660-582-7196.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups and oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or at their shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville. And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show here on KXCV KRNW as we turn our attention to volleyball and Northwest Volleyball Coach Amy Worth joining us. And we'll be fair. We just talked about the Cardinals.
Yes.
I know you're a big Royals fan. How's this time of year?
It's fun.
It's got to be weird being this deep in volleyball season and still rooting for baseball.
It's true. Usually it's the Yankees or the Cardinals or someone, so it's kind of weird to see that the Giants were going to play the Kansas City Royals. It's like you don't even really truly believe it, you know?
Yeah, well, I just appreciate that Royals fans have allowed some of us Cardinals fans on the bandwagon, at least for the week.
You can jump on.
Yeah, we'll enjoy it. All right, Coach, you guys have been putting in a lot of windshield time here over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Results-wise, maybe not exactly what you wanted, but just talk about how the last couple of weeks have been for the team.
You know, last week was tough because we had three matches in a week, and that's always tough physically and mentally. And then when you put the losses on top of it, obviously it's not what you want. But what you hope out of it is that you turn around and you get better from it, you know. And what I said halfway through our conference season, we were 6-4, although we hadn't played, you know, UCM yet. But for our young team, like, I felt that was a very good start, you know. And the last two seasons, we've struggled the second half to really finish well. And so for us, it's just really about continuing to go up. And we had a really good week of practice. We beat them up quite a bit, and they responded, and that was really good to see. And, you know, going into this weekend, I feel really confident, like, with our energy and what we've really worked on. And I feel like we've got people on the same page where we're going to continue to grow the second half. And that's what we're looking to get wins so we can have that confidence to continue on.
Is this weekend, and I know you've got several matches left, but as far as this season goes, is this maybe the most important weekend of the season, considering what's happened?
I think just to turn around what we have and to, you know, keep our confidence and to continue to grow, even, you know, because we are younger. I think this is, you have two must wins from the standpoint of getting in there and splitting against UCO, because the series, you know, we went down there and lost to them in three. But then to get the series sweep against Missouri Southern is really big for us. And I haven't told them that's a must win, but from the thought process of how we really get into it and what we put forth, you know, the effort with it, I feel really good walking into, you know, UCO. They're a tough team, but they lost to Fort Hays earlier, you know, last week. So our girls are starting to recognize anyone is beatable, you know, and it's just really about that confidence of knowing we can beat this team. Like, it's not, we belong here. And obviously when you're at home, you have that confidence already because you're in a comfortable setting. So I just feel good about, you know, the energy that is going to take place, you know, this weekend in Bearcat.
How much of where you're at right now is mental? How much of it is just getting the X's and O's, getting the scheme right, getting what you want to do on the court?
It's about 90% mental. You know, I think we have the athletes on the court that we need to have on the court. We're starting to really, in October now, we've gotten to the point where people are starting to mesh, playing together. They understand each other. The freshmen really aren't freshmen anymore, we say at this point. And it's really about, like, how do you respond to failure? And that's what we're going to find out this weekend, is how we respond to three failures from last week. And we really, you know, hammered them this week and stayed positive with them, but also told them the reality of it, and they just responded to it. Like, we have a good group of players who really want to do well, and so I want us to put forth a great effort, and we're going to see what happens, you know.
You talk about freshmen not being freshmen anymore at
yep.
this point. What are the biggest improvements? I know every individual is a little bit different, but just generally, what are the biggest steps that freshmen have to make to get to that point where you say they're not freshmen anymore?
Just comfort, like what your day-to-day time management looks like. So when you get in the gym, you can let everything else go and you can just play volleyball. And a lot of the time what happens, and it's just not freshmen, it's also sophomores, juniors, and seniors, you walk in the gym and all that stuff's on your shoulders. You got to let it go. And we talk a lot about it. We actually do visualization, you know, not every day before practice, but, you know, couple times a week, and we have them visualize what it looks like to walk in the gym and put everything away, because it's 90% of the mental, you know, fight. And if they're getting worn out in the other areas of their life, it's really hard for them to get in there and give us a fight the very last thing they're doing of the day. So it's meeting with individuals who are struggling or asking them how they're doing. But the players who really have their time management to where it needs to be, those are the players that usually are able to be present at practice, and that's what you need.
When you face teams a second time around in volleyball, do you make a lot of changes, little tweaks? How does that work as you try to keep everything updated the second time around?
It's usually what we try to do with our offense and our side. And so halfway through, we know a lot more answers to questions that we might have, like when it comes to lineups, or when it comes to this is a play that this person feels comfortable running, or this is the, you know, the ability we get out of this player. So we're more comfortable with our players, so we push them towards what they're comfortable, like running, especially when they're young. So it's doing different types of plays offensively. And so when you see someone for the second time, you're not showing them the exact same thing they saw the last time. And it really is so much for us right now about us. We have to take care of us. You know, we don't have to play a perfect game. We have to play well in all areas. And Nadie's said that a lot with the football program. We need to play a complete game. And that's what we're looking to do, you know, this weekend. And if you put that sequence together, you are, you know, you put yourself in a really good situation to win. But we've probably spent 75% of this week on us versus, you know, UCO or Missouri Southern. We have to get us right this weekend.
And talk about maybe one or two of the biggest steps you want to see taken this weekend by the team.
Just efficiency offensively. We can't be making, you know, the amount of errors. And for us, it's you know, your hitting percentage needs to be above 200, especially when you're playing a team that's better than you. And so it's that efficiency. But what goes with that efficiency is when you make one error, are you going to make another error? And is it going to turn into three errors in a row? And that's something we've hammered on a lot this week from the standpoint that after one error, after two errors, you have to get the next ball in. Like, that has to be something that you are strong enough mentally and technically you're sound that you're going to say, no, I'm going to be the one that steps up to put that next ball away, or I'm going to be able to get the block that we need to change that tide. And so we talk a lot about those things in practice, and it's starting to click. I really want to see that translate. And I want it to see, not just because we're all playing well, the games that we have to win from here on out are the games that we're struggling, and we turn around and we turn it around in the second or third set, you know, so that we can be challenged and then turn around and challenge them back. So those would really be the two things, you know, hitting efficiency, has to go up, and then when we're challenged, we have to meet that challenge.
It's been basically 3 weeks since you played at Bearcat Arena. It seems like not only have you played well, but you've had some good energy. The crowd has had good energy. Yep. It seems like it's been a fun place to play.
It really has. You know, our parents have supported us really well this year. I think we set the tone fairly high when we had a scrimmage up here, and we had a team, you know, come up, and before we even got into, you know, first week of season, and our girls were just hyped. They were really excited. The football program came in and they were cheering, and we played extremely well. We had really good energy. We were a little naive still, you know, in our season. We had a lot of young kids on the court, and they were just out there playing, you know, lights out. So I think when you have that first perception as a fan, you're willing to come back really and to see what the season's going to hold. The other thing I talk to our girls a lot about is when the fans leave, what do they feel? You know, what are they going to say? Because if I'm a fan and I walk in, much like the Royals, and if they're working their butts off, and you know that what they're doing is, you know, going to lead to success, that's, and the story's not told yet, you're going to go back. You're going to be interested to see what happens. And I want us to be relentless. I want us to go after every single ball. I don't want us to sit around and let things happen to us. I want us to go out and be aggressive. And so that's what we're really, you know, going for from the standpoint of when fans come and watch, they're just interested. You know, they like that atmosphere that we create.
It seems like after home matches this year, you know, even the couple of losses you had at home, the talk amongst fans wasn't about the loss. It was about the positives that they saw, and that kind of plays into what you're talking about there, is fans are more likely to think about the effort,
right,
and the energy that,
yep,
the team has, and not necessarily whether it's a win or a loss.
Yeah, it's just fun to walk in the gym this year and coach this group, you know, and because they have a really good energy, and they bounce off of each other really well, like when they bounce back, and you know, we have a good team vibe, you know, they're there for each other. And that's always fun to walk into the gym and understand you have an audience that is willing to give you everything they have. And you know, for the most part, you're always going to have ups and downs throughout the season that you might have lost for a little bit, and now you have it back, and you have to teach them some lessons along the way. But it's just a joy to coach from the standpoint that I know they want to do well, and they're looking to me for those answers of how we're going to do it. So I would agree. I mean, there hasn't been a loss at home where we're like, you know, that was just really negative feeling. I just always always have a good feeling about us being able to bounce back, and I just have that same feeling going into this weekend.
Well, Coach, good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
And go Royals.
Go Royals.
That's Amy Wirth, the volleyball coach at Northwest Missouri State, and we're going to continue to talk volleyball when we come back as a junior on Coach Wirth's team. Shelby Dern will join us. We'll do it right after this timeout. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCB KRNW.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet from Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at CarpetPlus.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville, offering specialty pizzas, pastas, and wings, and a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More at PizzaHut.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Bittersweet Floral and Gifts at First and Main in Maryville, offering floral arrangements for all occasions. Bittersweet also offers scrapbook supplies, silk arrangements, soaps, and gifts. More online at BittersweetFloral.com or at 582-5700. Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street, offering a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's game comes from Southpaw's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. Southpaw's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show here on KXCV KRNW. And as we mentioned, junior outside hitter Shelby Duren from the Northwest volleyball team joins us. And Shelby, we've talked with Coach several times this year about how it is kind of a young team, and you're seeing a lot of young players come along this year. You as a junior, and along with the few seniors that you've got, have had to have a leadership role. Talk about the experience of this season so far as you're about the halfway point of the MIAA schedule.
Well, I think our freshmen have done a really great job. Like Amy said, I really don't even feel like they're freshmen. They've really, like, taken over their roles, and I'm really proud of them. And as being a junior, I would like to think that I have a way with the freshmen and like can help them out, and like, but we help each other out, which I think is a great thing, because I know that if my senior is going to tell me something, I respect that, but I also respect like if the freshman is going to tell me something. So I really like our relationship that we have all together.
It looks like, you know, back when us old guys were in school, we didn't think much of the freshmen, you know, we didn't care what they did or anything like that, but it seems like with the family atmosphere that really all Bearcat teams have, it kind of plays to what you just said, where you maybe see each other on more of an even plane than what I guess we did back in the day. Is that important to improving as a team and getting better as the season goes on?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely important, just having team cohesiveness and just being one team. And that's one of our main sayings this year, is just being one team. And I think we've really embraced that all together, and we lean on each other, and it's just a great feeling to have.
What do you think have been some of the biggest advances the team has made from the start of the season to this point? Where do you see the most improvement so far?
I think we've had a lot of improvement finishing. We have gone a lot of games going 5 and finishing 5 and winning 5, so I think we've done a great job with that, and just fighting really hard during the matches and never giving up. And like, that's one of the things we always say, is like, even if we lose, like, we look at the positives and like how hard we worked. But I mean, granted, we want to get to that W, but just the fact that we work hard every day, every practice and every game is just a great thing.
Winning in 3 obviously is the ultimate goal, but just talk about the feeling of a 5-game match and getting the win when you have to play that 5th game.
Yeah, it's kind of unexplainable, honestly, because I mean, just going into that 5th set, it's 0-0 each team, and it's a battle. It really is in the 5th set. I mean, it's only 15 points, and just accomplishing that is just like the greatest feeling. I mean, you really feel like you've like taken over the world.
And I know, you know, with scoring every time, does that make it a little more intense? I mean, back in the day with volleyball, you could only score when you serve. So I would guess that keeps things a little bit closer and makes it a little more intense as well.
Yeah, just the rallies back and forth, like the long ones and finishing them. It's just, it's a really accomplishing feeling. And it's so fun and it's so intense. And I love that feeling. And that's why I love volleyball too.
After a few weeks on the road, you get back to Bearcat Arena. Talk about what makes playing at home so much fun.
It's just the pride, the feeling of being at home. It's your court. You're defending your hometown. And I think that's just what makes us play our best, is like for our fans, for our family, and for each other, honestly, too. So I think it's just great being on our home court, and like that gives us a lot of confidence going into this weekend.
You've had some home crowds that have really had a lot of energy and been into the match. Do you guys feel that energy?
Definitely. I mean, just when we get that kill or we get that block and we just hear Bearcat roar, it's the greatest feeling. And I mean, it just makes us really proud to have the fans that we do, because, I mean, that really does help us and it helps us win games.
What do you, we heard from Coach a little bit ago about what you want to accomplish this weekend. What do you want to see the team get accomplished this weekend as well?
I think just against Central Oklahoma, last time we went down there and it was a long drive and we didn't really show up to play. So we're ready to kind of get some revenge back on them. And like you said, we're on our home court and we need to defend that. So I'm really excited to get a second shot at them because we can beat them.
Now, obviously, you've got a year and a half left, but what's the plans for Shelby after Northwest Missouri State?
Well, I would like to know that, too. But, no, I'm looking for a summer internship and just, like, getting that lined up and just going into my senior year with wide open options and for volleyball and my career-wise. So,
you know, you can change your mind many times.
Yeah.
No, that's right. You don't have to know now. That's for sure. Well, good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much.
That is Shelby Duren. She's an outside hitter for the Northwest Missouri State volleyball team. They're home Friday night at 7 o'clock against Central Oklahoma. Back home Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock against Missouri Southern. And then also next Tuesday, they'll be at home to face Central Missouri in a 7 o'clock match on Tuesday. We'll be back with more from Carson's in downtown Maryville right after this. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Hy-Vee. At every home game, Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Hy-Vee, located on South Main in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Today's game is being underwritten by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford in Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at tristatefordlincoln.com or at 660-582-3677.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We wrap things up for another edition of the program. And Matt, before we go, we ought to talk about something too this weekend. Northwest Soccer's back home. They've got Lindenwood on Friday at 3:30, and then you look at Sunday, a matchup as well as they take on Central Missouri at noon. So some soccer as well this weekend on campus.
Yeah, and that's good. You know, after last weekend where there was basically just one event to choose from at home, and now you've got four opportunities between Friday and Sunday to get out and see Bearcat Athletics. So hopefully fans can take advantage of all four, but any of the four would be great.
And a reminder about our show, next week we'll be here on a Wednesday night instead of Thursday due to some Halloween activities downtown. So mark your calendar to be here on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, you know, they've got the downtown trick-or-treat night, and I don't think that was the reason. I think they're afraid you and I might scare all the kids. I have a feeling that's probably why it'd be better on Wednesday than Thursday next week.
Yeah,
I think.
Thompson.
Carson agrees.
You guys wouldn't wear costumes. It's scary enough without costume.
Yeah, that's exactly
why we're
right.
On radio, I think. Don't forget, coming up Saturday, Bearcat football from Hayes, Kansas. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff. We'll be on the air at 1 o'clock with Bearcat Game Day, bringing you all the action of Bearcat football again coming up this Saturday. Thanks to everyone involved with their broadcast here at Carson's. Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey, and we'll be back with you again next Wednesday. Again, remember that is Wednesday night here at Carson Sports Grill for another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
You're listening to KXCV Maryville, KRNW, from the campus of Northwest Missouri State University. Look at the local weather right now. Currently, we're sitting at 67 in St. Joe, 63 in Chillicothe, and a warm 67 right here in Maryville. We're going to jump into performance today here on public radio.
Not many orchestras even try to...